Good morning. Today is Thursday, July the 6th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
Love to see that you don't have the opportunity to forget who you are now.
That's right. It's all over my shirt.
Yeah.
Sheriff. And my badge.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't have your badge number on it, so there's still a variable there.
Yeah, true.
Let's see if we can find a quote here. Well, that's an interesting one. It's a weird one, but it's just an interesting one. You can live without your friends, but not without your neighbors.
Nice.
You like that?
I don't necessarily agree with that.
I kind of like that one a little bit, though.
I need my
friends. Considering some of the goofy stuff that's going on out there in some of the various jurisdictions, Mark Wheatley was on a week and a half ago.
Right.
And in his official capacity as manager in Fortuna, was really kind of concerned about what was going on with what was being permitted.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe permitted is too strong a word. Allowed.
Okay.
By the county. And that this concept of sphere of influence seemed to go by the wayside when it is associated with marijuana.
Right.
Okay. I know we've had some discussions in the past about some of these types of things. From your position with law enforcement, is this going to be a real can of worms, this whole thing?
This marijuana legalization, medical marijuana, has been a can of worms since 1996 when it was passed. The ambiguity in the law, the fact is that it took them 20 years, the legislature, 20 years to define what medical marijuana was all about and how it should be grown, and is, to me, unacceptable. So the state of California has allowed this black market industry to thrive over the last 20 years. So now, in the best way that they could do it, on the heels of recreational use, they pass a statewide law to regulate medical marijuana. And it was a framework where they really wanted to get those existing growers to come into compliance with state law. And they really wanted to get the people in Humboldt County out of the hills and into areas to where bring it out in the open. So
but
part
the state
of that
law
is,
that they're trying to get compliance on,
right?
Is it even locked down?
They are still refining it. And
so comply
they say,
to the Jell-O line over there.
They say that this is, you know, the state licenses will start being issued in January 2018. And to get a state license, you have to have approval through a county. You should have a county permit. And so they're only going to allow those people that have the county permit to have a state license. So that gave us, as a county, the drive to put together this ordinance. And there was a lot of information that came together. The Board of Supervisors sought input from a lot of different areas, and from a lot of marijuana growers came in and gave their input, and since it was still such a, you know, everyone recognized that marijuana was grown out in the hills, they didn't understand that to bring this out in the open meant a lot of times bringing that marijuana into those agricultural areas, and a lot of those agricultural areas are right on the city borders, like City of Fortuna.
Let's say if somebody buys one of the dairy ranches in Ferndale and decides that this alluvial plain is really solid growing for marijuana. So it's not only out there, but it's out there invisible. I would think that that's different can of worms.
It is. It's coming all over the place. Fortuna outside, it's there. It's becoming very, very visible.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Billy Hansel. Before the break, I had made reference to if Ferndale had a dairy, okay, and it was purchased and converted over to marijuana. Outside the city limits, but right there.
Yes.
Right? I would imagine that that community would be up in arms, too.
Absolutely. They're used to seeing it elsewhere, and they don't want it in their backyard. And so it's happening in Fortuna right now, where someone bought 5 acres, you know, right on the outside of Fortuna. They have a view of the valley, and then next thing you know, their neighbor's parcel just sold. It's 6 acres, and they can grow 10,000 square feet of greenhouse.
Hoops
brought up overnight, and a permitted application is put in, and now they're protesting because they didn't buy that property knowing that there's going to be a marijuana garden right next to them, and the smell and the impact of
lights
that.
And sound and
so there's a whole bunch of restrictions in place that are supposed to, you know, prevent people from having this absorbent smell. But how can you when it's grown outside, it is going to creep in. You're going to have this obstructed view. And
well, now somebody told me that as the ordinances change and evolve, that those that are existing now don't have to come into compliance. They are on their set. And then as, let's say, setbacks occur or light or noise restrictions get implemented, that it's not retroactive back down, that you're going to have to deal with whatever you deal with. And if you're not liking it, tough noogies.
You know, I'm going to have to let the lawyer settle that out because it seems reasonable that someone who's permitted and allowed to put a bunch of money into infrastructure for their property, and then now the county changes the rules, how can you prevent them from growing? I don't know, but that's got to be probably stuff for the county council to weigh in on. But it's definitely it's had an impact, and that's why, you know, your quote about neighbors, you know, people relied on their neighbors before, but now there's such a money grab out there. If you have anything over 5 acres and you can make a quick buck, you know, by selling to a potential grower, some people are jumping on that, and people are in fear. People, you know, wanted to go out into areas outside of Arcata and McKinleyville and have gentleman ranches, you know, 5-6 acres, and have space and have a garden, and now they have to deal with neighbors that are growing.
Do you anticipate that there's going to be, like, claim jumpers with gold, that there'll be claim jumpers with marijuana? Or, I mean, we could go a little bit bucolic. Kids walking down the county lanes, grabbing a couple of apples off the neighbor's apple tree. Do you think that we're going to start to see some of that kind of stuff also, with people just kind of jumping the fence and grabbing a couple plants and doing with it whatever they do with it?
You know, a part of being a permitted grow is having a security plan in place. And so they're supposed to have in areas where, you know, they do have mechanisms to prevent that from happening. But, you know, with it being grown,
I haven't heard the razor wires selling a whole lot more.
Yeah, probably not. But, yeah. But you know, with it becoming more and more a part of communities now and out of the hills, we might have those. We might have it. And it being also a cash industry still, because the banking isn't figured out, you know, we have legit permitted growers and non-permitted growers still that are dealing with mounds and mounds of cash. And what do you do with
literal
it?
Literal mounds.
That's it. Yeah. And what do they do with it? And people still are out there looking for an easier buck and will rob, shoot, kill people over marijuana money.
And do you track homicides, or I guess felonies?
Violent crimes?
That are associated specifically to marijuana.
We do. We track that.
What percentage of all the goofy that we hear about is there?
Home invasion robberies, 80-90% at least marijuana related. And that's the ones we know about. You know, I'm sure that percentage would be a lot higher if these people out of the hills and would want to report it, would actually report it to us.
So it's not meth. It's not heroin. It's marijuana.
Marijuana right now. Because marijuana is, you know, this huge cash industry. People are not only sitting on a lot of product, but they also have, you know, the fruits of their sales, and they store at their house. And who do you trust? Who do you trust that's gonna, you know, take care of you? The people
that
you come in.
Was that the Joker's line in Batman? Yes. Who do you trust?
Who do you trust?
Yeah.
But, you know, you have people that are bringing in unknowns all the time to their marijuana gardens or their trimming or whatever else. And some of these people, you know, I think they would sell them out in a minute if they could get more money out of them.
Is there any resolution yet with the transportation of this stuff? Because each county is separate. You know, we've thought pretty clearly about intrastate.
Right.
Okay, it becomes a federal offense. That's black and white. That's easy to follow.
Right.
But county to county, things are different also. Has there been any determination with that, or is that still kind of like the wild, wild west?
So January 2018, the state's supposed to have some kind of a mechanism in place for, you know, transportation. But there are people that transport their product that is grown here down to a dispensary that they have a contract with to sell their marijuana, and the state has allowed that to happen. But there's certain counties that are still, you know, are quote dry counties, you know, and these counties do not want marijuana in their county. So it creates a really, really odd spectrum when you have a transporter stopped with 300-400 pounds destined to go to Southern California or a Bay Area dispensary.
Could it be as simple as having certified carriers?
Yes, it could be. Just like alcohol. Just like groceries, you know.
So it's not a big lift. It's just they have to have a coming together of mind.
Absolutely. And so manifests, those kind of things, documentation. That's why a track and trace program is essential. And the state's, I guess, getting ready to figure out which one's going to be.
It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Talk Shop presented by Redick and by CDH Painting. The concept of transportation and everything around marijuana, there are still those that have raging debates about whether or not this is a crime. Should it be felony one? Is it an entry drug? Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Setting that stuff aside, there's the RICO Act also that's involved in this thing. And I know Colorado's starting to deal with it. Washington is. Not sure about Oregon, but I'm sure that that'll be happening also, which pretty much says that if your illegal stuff impacts my stuff, you're at risk. You have to make me whole. I can't imagine what a class action lawsuit focusing on the RICO Act in Humboldt County could mean in this kind of scenario. Are you hearing any rumbles or grumblings about this? I know it's not kind of your germane, or your jurisdiction rather, but it's still part of this whole thing that's about to happen.
Right. I have not heard about that. But, you know, the federal government can come in any time and start regulating some of these black market growers and some people that are still, you know, growing to ship it out of state and going to the East Coast markets or some of these other states that haven't legalized it yet. And it's one of those, you know, we have so many black market grows out there, people that are just don't want to have anything to do with being permitted, coming into state law, that it's a target-rich environment for them. If they wanted to come out here and look at organized crime, which is definitely here in California, here in Northern California and in the hills, you know, they could find it. It's not hard. The issue is it just takes time and takes work to put cases together.
So why don't they?
I don't know. You know, I've had conversations in the past with the U.S. attorney and talked to him about the real need for them to come up here to look at this, how exponentially it is blown out of proportion in Northern California. And they give us a lot of lip service, you know, because I think it's for some reason or another, they don't look at the violence associated with it. They don't look at all the other, you know, the trickle down of illegal marijuana and all the devastation it's doing. And they just think about it as the marijuana of the 60s. And what's the big deal with the joint? But they don't see the big business. They don't see the environmental damage. They don't see all the harm that an illegal marijuana growers is doing in the county.
So when you get together now, you've had a couple of sheriff meetings, right?
Yes.
What consensus thought do they have? Of the 58 of you guys.
Right.
I presume they're all guys.
Nope.
Is there a gal or two?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well,
yep.
Yeah, what do I know?
Yep.
I guess I'm stuck in the 60s as somebody used during one of the commercial breaks earlier. What consensus thought? Is there a big question mark over everybody's head or...
There is definitely jurisdictional and some philosophical differences throughout the state. You know, there are counties that don't want anything to do with it. I think Fresno is still a county that they don't want to have any kind of commercial marijuana industry in their county.
So that's easy for the sheriff there.
Margaret Mims,
boom,
female,
boom.
Right, who is, it's easy for them. And so anything grown in the county, you know, can get, you know.
How many dry counties are there?
I don't know the answer to that
2-3
question.
Kind of thing?
I think it's
a little bit more?
Maybe it's less than 10.
Okay.
Yeah. But some of the depressed counties out there, you know, economically are looking at marijuana as being a source of big income for them and a tax revenue, tax base. And so they're exploring that. And so you're looking at areas east of LA that are expanding and cities that are getting marijuana ordinances in place, and they're growing marijuana in warehouses.
I could see deserts doing
yes.
this because of the sunshine. You have some kind of hydroponics, so you got a closed loop. You don't need a ton of water. I could see that, but that's not impacting the neighbors.
Right.
And it's really easy to tell if there's anything that's going goofy because you're not hiding behind trees or behind mountain peaks. It's all out there. And somebody can pull up and take a look-see at it really easy.
That's right.
And you don't have decades of degradation.
Right, right.
Other places have historical use and historical growing like we have got.
Right.
How would you ever be able to regulate, monitor,
right.
enforce the codes? Da-da-da.
That's right.
You know, the state doesn't have enough people. You guys certainly don't have enough people. So how do you get...
We don't.
Are you hoping for 50%? Knowledge and compliance.
Yeah, you're hoping for that. You're hoping for at least that. Yeah, I think so. And I think as we get closer and closer to the state sending out their permits and that the black and white line is drawn in the sand, that we know who the good players are. And the people that are still in the black market, you know, we'll be able to take them down and hopefully, you know, win this fight because it is a fight.
Will they be prosecuted, though?
I think so, because we have a DA that's willing to prosecute, and I think there's juries now that are willing to sit down and say, you know what, you had the opportunity to get legit and legal. These are all the things that the county's bent over backwards to bring you into compliance, and you decided not to because you wanted to be a, quote, guerrilla grower for life. You know, that's, you know, I think those cases where a jury of 12 could sit down and say, you know, we'll convict you, and it might only be a misdemeanor, but also all the civil penalties that come with it. Millions and millions of dollars of civil penalties are going to really affect some of these guys on the outside, and it's
that might get their attention.
It has because this is all about greed, and if we take the money away from it and fine them, then you know it doesn't become too lucrative anymore.
KINS News and Information Times 8:43. We'll be back with more from Billy Hansel.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Billy Hansel. Brave New World, as far as marijuana, and nobody's really talking too much about it now. We've had a couple fires in the industry. Okay, fine. Haven't had any forest fires yet.
Right.
Yet. Nobody's had shots taken at them, at least wearing badges.
In Humboldt County.
Yeah. Still keep finding some goofy things and some curious things. 3 years from now, what does this look like?
That's a great question. I think the whole shape of marijuana is going to be changed in 3 years. I really do. Right now, the price per pound of marijuana is getting lower and lower. And right now in Humboldt County, people are still paying a whole lot of money for properties, a whole lot of money for investments, infrastructure to try and grow marijuana here. I honestly believe that the only people that are going to be able to survive are the permitted growers that are growing, acres of marijuana, and that they're able to absorb the price impact of a price lowering. And
why not the guys who aren't having to pay OSHA, who aren't having to pay workers' comp, who aren't paying taxes? Why wouldn't they be able to survive? Because there's so many of them.
There are so many of them. But as we get more and more, the marijuana is going to become more and more regulated. And I think more and more people are going to find out about how the marijuana is treated. And it needs to be tested. There's pesticides and all sorts of chemicals that are used to treat marijuana that don't ever get tested on the black market. You don't know what you're having. And so,
doesn't solve the meth industry.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But when you can get dirt cheap marijuana, recreationally, that is tested and that it doesn't have any chemicals in it, then why would you bother with black market? And so where you have all these carcinogens out there, I think honestly that's the only way it's going to survive. You're going to see the people that are permitted, that get everything tested. Those are the growers. That's the industry that's going to survive.
So an educated consumer.
Yes. I think so.
That remembers to look.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think organics, natural, all this stuff that is in other consumables still hasn't been figured out yet. Now we got it in this. Okay, you can trace it to, okay, it was this plot in this county, that's where it was grown.
Right.
Okay, so does that mean that they were using the super duper good stuff or the super bad goofy stuff?
Well, it's all going to be chemically tested, and so they'll know, whether or not it's safe to consume, and that's part of the state regulation, and so it has to. And you're finding, I think now, I hear anyway, that there are dispensaries that just they will only take products that are proven safe. In the past, I think people came in and they were just offering just dirt cheap, marijuana, and they were taking it. But now, I think enough of the word's gotten out that they don't want this quote dirty marijuana out there.
Does the state have its structure in place to be able to certify all these grows?
No, they're still working on that. They're relying heavy on the counties to regulate things within the county. But as far as state licensing goes, they're supposed to have all their stuff together by January of next year. It is something that they are still working on.
You use the word working and state in the same sentence.
Yes. They're meeting a whole lot with people. I'm not sure if any decisions are being made, but they're doing a lot of meetings.
Good. Keep them out of trouble.
I guess so.
Oh, my. Oh, thanks for coming by, bud.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it.
Talk to you a bit.
Take care.
See everybody tomorrow.